Abraham's the heavyweight, and he's coming up. That's what I think. Noah's pretty good. Yeah, Noah's good. But as far as trading cards go, if you want Heroes of Faith trading cards, I would trade you 3 Enix for an Abraham. Noah, I probably have to, Noah and Abraham seem like a fair trade. But I think Abraham went up in value since the Gospel of Paul came on, because Paul's, you know, hearkening back to Abraham. So I have to give Abraham the edge there. I might trade you 2 Noahs for an Abraham. Yeah, I'd have to do that. Hey, everybody, this is Martin Zender, and I hope you enjoyed the newsletter over the weekend. I haven't been able to stop thinking about Phoebe. We were talking about her last night. Young Terrence, as we call him, Terry Clemens from Canada, been visiting us for 6 weeks, that's right. And he's been here. He just left tonight, so it's very sad to see him go. And Clyde Lynn, Pilkington, myself, and Terry, we went for a walk downtown to the Sheets station. Don't know if you have any Sheets service stations where you live. Sorry about your luck if you don't. It's S-H-E-E-T-Z. These are the Sheets brothers, and I'm not kidding you. And they started a chain of gas stations, but it's not just gas. It's a full-service deal. Groceries, coffee. We got a little coffee there, and yeah, I guess we did have a cigar, right, the three of us. I'm going to lay off them for a while, though. I smoke them occasionally, but they really stink, and I don't like to do it. I'm just doing it for the heck of it, so I'm going to lay off for a while. But anyhow, we were talking about Phoebe, who, as I said in my newsletter, was the one who took the letter of Romans, Paul's letter to Romans, the only copy in existence, the original. He gave it to Phoebe. She was a part of the ecclesia in Corinth, and he's commending her to the Roman ecclesia in chapter 16, verse 1. Read that, and it became evident to me then that she is the one who took it. And Paul's saying, receive her, you know, on our behalf. So she's carrying this thing. I just love it. I just love that these people thought they were nothing. They really did. We think we're nothing. I'm just a believer. I'm living in the year 2013. Big deal. Folks, these people back in the day, Erastus of Corinth, Gaius of Corinth, my favorites, Tryphena and Tryphosa. But now Phoebe's competing with Tryphena and Tryphosa. We were talking about Tryphena and Tryphosa as well, and it's my theory that Tryphena and Tryphosa, who you will read about in Romans chapter 16, were twins. And I think they were very attractive. And I think that they probably swelled the ranks of the Roman ecclesia because of this, and that young men came to the meetings at Priscilla and Aquila's house because Tryphena and Tryphosa were there. But Paul wouldn't have cared. He would have thought it was great. He, like you say, Paul didn't care about the motives. You read that in Philippians. Some people were preaching the true evangel to try to cause Paul grief in his bonds. How heinous is that? And yet Paul says, by every means the gospel might be preached. They were preaching the true gospel, mind you. But they just said, well, while Paul's in jail, we'll try to gain some converts. Those sickos! Sickos, how can they do that? Now, so Paul sure wouldn't have cared if, all right, a lot of young men came into the Roman ecclesia because of Tryphena and Tryphosa. Paul says, whatever, by every means. And so because Tryphena and Tryphosa were attractive, the young men heard the gospel and they're members of the body of Christ. So we're going to meet all these people. And if they were alive today, they'd be looking down on us and really be proud of us. And like I said to those guys last night, I said, this is what I'm going to say to Phoebe and to Tryphena, Tryphosa, to Paul, to Gaius, to Timothy, to Titus, all these epic heroes of faith, Aquila and Priscilla, these people who followed Paul, supported Paul, gave Paul money to keep doing what he's doing, took his letters to and fro. I would say to them, we finished it. We finished it. Unless they say it to us first. You guys finished it. Yeah, we finished it. What are we going to do, quit? This is the last generation. Martin, everybody says they're the last generation. Yeah, we're the only generation to be right. We are finishing what these people started. And we're going to meet them. It's going to be one heck of a meet and greet among the celestials. And there's going to be a lot of bantering going on. And we're going to be talking about our times, our life and our times, what they did, what we did. And we're in the same enterprise, except our names aren't in the Bible. But we're in the Book of Faith, the Hebrews. We're in the Hall of Fame of Faith, Wing 2. We're part 2 of this whole epic thing. Now, all through the ages, there have been faithful people, but we're finishing it. You and I are finishing it. You're helping me to finish it. You're helping Clyde. You're helping Dan Sheridan. We're bringing the last members into the body of Christ. It's not audacious. It's a fact. It's a fact. So thank you for being with me in this work. And these humble people who served, who did it, who opened their homes to the saints, gave Paul money to keep him going, who transported this precious letter that I'm elaborating upon in my ZWTF newsletter, the Book of Romans. Thank you, Phoebe. I love you. You know I do. I can't wait to see you. Tryphena and Tryphosa, don't feel bad. I hope you're not jealous. Phoebe's kind of my new favorite. I'm not, no, just kind of. I mean, you know, she did take the letter from Corinth to Rome. So without her, you know, where would you be really, right? So, all right. I hope no hard feelings, I hope, with any of them. And I really hope that's good when I see them. So we are going to talk about now the heavy hitter, and that is Abraham, the heavy hitter of faith. Because Paul, you know, James does mention, that's true. James mentions Abraham, but only after circumcision. Paul draws on his life before circumcision because he was justified by faith. Oh, got to hit this on Noah real quick. There's one last thing about Noah that I didn't hammer for you yesterday, and I want to do that now. No, let's just repeat this for the sake of Noah, because I love this guy, Noah. Love this guy. What a tough life. He must have been ridiculed. I mean, he was ridiculed for 100 years. That would really be rough. I wouldn't want to live 100 years, especially not. That was just his era of ridicule. I mean, before that, he lived a normal life, but it was hundreds of years. These people lived for a long time. It's true, the weather was better. It was more accommodating to human existence because there was that canopy of water over the earth, which diffused the sunlight. So the earth was lit evenly and warmed evenly all the way around. You didn't have this epic heat at the equator and the poles. You didn't have poles in the days of Noah. There was a canopy of water because in Genesis, yeah, sure there was. In Genesis, it says the atmosphere came, separated the waters from the waters. So there's waters beneath, waters below. And the heavens opened up, it said, and the water poured forth. It wasn't just rain, folks. It was 100% chance of a deluge. And it killed every single person on the planet. I had a guy tell me recently that the flood was local. And well, it sure wasn't, because everything that had breath perished, and it covered, Scripture says, the highest mountains on the earth. So if you're covering the highest mountains, there's no way there's anything below that. So you're done. Everybody's done, except 8 people. Now, look what it says about Noah. By faith, Noah, being apprised concerning that which is not as yet being observed, being pious, we talked about that word, constructs an ark for the salvation of his house, through which he condemns the world and became an enjoyer of the allotment of the righteousness which of the allotment of the righteousness which accords with faith. The righteousness which accords with faith. This is an important, I promise, I've not had 2 glasses of wine. It's this H, it's the S, 2 S's, and the S and the faith and the accords. It's kind of tough to say. So there's a righteousness which accords with faith. And Paul brings this to the forefront big time in Romans chapter 4. And I told you that God has really boiled this down to an essence of what pleases him. And what pleases him is not sweat, not sacrifice, but believing him. All right, and even the faith is a gift, Romans 12:3. But look, this, I'm going to make an important point here. Righteousness accords with faith. Faith is righteousness. Now, you thought the gospel was all about grace. It is. Grace is the foundation from which God operates now. Grace. Faith is that gift given to us by God to help us apprehend grace. And the result is, in God's mind, righteousness. Did you get all that? All right, what's the basement? What's the bottom? What's the foundation? Grace. Grace is, by definition, favor shown to those who deserve the opposite. Greek word is charis, C-H-A-R-I-S. Strangely, I think, the root word there is joy. Because grace and joy are so close together. Grace produces joy. So grace is the foundation. Favor shown to those who deserve the opposite. I'm going to show you this in Ephesians 2 in a second here. Faith is a gift of God, Romans 12:3, gives us to apprehend God pronouncing us right. It takes faith to apprehend an invisible pronouncement. Because folks, what do we have besides teaching, besides declarations? Objective declarations of God, and those are invisible. And we can only believe them by faith because we look at our bodies, we're not yet constituted righteous. We're declared righteous, not yet constituted. We will become immortal. We will become celestial beings to the point that God uses a figure of speech called prolepsis and says we are seated among the celestials. That's how sure this is. But we don't have it in practice yet. Okay, but we will. That's where faith comes in. Grace is what we're saved in. Faith is what we apprehend grace through, and the result is righteousness, because God loves to be believed. What are we believing Him about? The fact that He loves us and He likes us, and He's doing this irrespective of our acts, simply because He is the Father of agape love, and agape love loves without considering the worthiness of its object. It loves because it is love. Ephesians 2, that in the oncoming eons, I'm in verse 7, Ephesians 2:7, and I'm going to close with this. Then we're going to hit the heavyweight, Abraham, tomorrow. I thought I was going to get to Abraham today. Sorry I didn't do that. We'll do it tomorrow. Ephesians 2:7, that in the oncoming eons, He should be displaying the transcendent riches of His grace in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So it all happens in Christ Jesus. So Christ Jesus is the vehicle that God uses to display His grace and His kindness to us. And He's going to keep displaying it, because it's going to take the eons to come to exhaust it. And even the eons to come won't exhaust it, I don't think. In the oncoming eons, listen to this, He should be displaying the transcendent riches of His grace and His kindness to us, the hallmark, the centerpiece, the center stage of the Aeonian times is going to be God displaying the transcendent riches of His grace and His kindness to us. We're the focal point. God needs us as a foil to display His grace upon. The dark background, that's us. The light of God's smile against the black backdrop. Now here's the part I'm going to close with, verse 8. For in grace, through faith, are you saved, and this is not out of you. It's God's approach present, not of works, lest anyone should be boasting. There it is. This is a mouthful. For in grace, that's what I said. Remember I said we're saved in grace. In grace, through faith, are you saved. Faith is the avenue through faith. It's the avenue by which we apprehend the grace of God. But we're not saved by faith. We're saved by yes, we are, not by our faith. We're saved by Jesus Christ's faith. And Jesus Christ's coming was an act of the grace of God. So grace is behind even the faith of Jesus Christ. It's behind it. It impels it. It compels it. And it brings it to us. I'm going to say that again. For in grace, through faith, faith is the channel, are you saved. And this, the faith, is not out of you. This, in verse 8, refers back to the faith. For in grace, through faith, are you saved. And this, what's the this? The faith is not out of you. It is God's approach present. Faith is a gift, Romans 12:3 and Philippians 1:29. Look up those verses on your own. Romans 12:3 and Philippians 1:29. Faith is a gift, cause you to apprehend the grace of God. I know I keep repeating that, but it's important. I never want you to forget it. We're speaking on the heroes of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, we are the new heroes of faith. Not only us, but our friends of days gone by, Phoebe, Apollos, Aquila, Priscilla, Paul, Erastus, Tryphena, and Tryphosa. This has been Martin Sender. We'll be back here tomorrow by the grace of God.